Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Yasoda nanana braja janaranjana Yasoda nanana braja janaranjana Bhunatera Vanachyaude Yamunate Ramanachyaude Jai Ho Radha Ho Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabalaba Ye Valadare Gopi Janabalaba Ye Valadare Yasoda nandana prajadana nanjana Yasoda nandana prajadana nanjana Yamuna tera vanachyade Yamuna Tera Vanachyade Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya also tell her Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Sabaya, Charanad Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Shri Das Thakur Kijai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. See it way to get out, ha, Shivasidhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopakapatna Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai. Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturidam Kijai. Jagannatha Swami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai. Srimati Lassi Devi Gijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gijai. Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bom. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shri Madhavakya Vedanta Swami Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Shunyavani Paschatate Shatari. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 29th chapter, text 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Rajani Isha Gora Rupa Gora Sattva Nishevita Patiyata Radang Neha Steyang Strivihi Sumadjamaha Rajanyesha Gora Rupa Gora Sattvani Shevita Patiyata Rajam Neha Steyam Strivi Sumadjamaha Rajanyesha Gura Rupa Gora Sattva Nishevita Patiyata Vrajang Neha Steyam Stri Visu Madhyamaha Rajanyesha Gura Rupa Gura Sattva Nishevata Pratiyata Vrachang Deha Steyong Stri Visu Madhyamaha. Okay. Nishevita Diyata Prajam Neha Stayam Stri Vizumadhyamaha Sattva Nishevita Pratyata Vajamneha Deyam Sribi Sumadhyamaha. Okay. Rajane Night. Esha. This. Guru Rupa. Fearsome in appearance. Guru Sattva. By fearsome creatures. Nishevata. Populated. Patiyata. Please return. Vrajam. To the coward village of Vraja. Na. Not. Iha. Here. Stayam. Should stay. Sribihi. Women. Sumajamaha. Oh, slender-waisted girls. Translation. This night is quite frightening, and frightening creatures are lurking about. Return to Braja, slender-waisted girls. This is not a proper place for women. You repeat. This night is quite frightening. And frightening creatures are lurking about. Return to Braja. Slender-waisted girls. This is not a proper place for women. So, commentary by the followers of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written the following charming commentary on this verse. The gopis thought, alas, alas, even after shattering our family responsibilities, our sobriety, and our shame, and enjoying us day after day, and after now dragging us here by the sound of his flute, he's asking us why we have come. As the gopis cast sidelong glances at one another, the Lord said, if you try to tell me that you have come to get night-blooming flowers to use in the worship of God, and that it is these flowers that you are looking at with your sidelong glances, I will have to reject your excuse as unacceptable, since neither the time, place, nor persons involved are appropriate. This is the Lord's meaning in the verse beginning, Rajani. He might have said, even though there is abundant moonlight, this time of night is very fearsome because of many snakes, scorpions, and other dangerous creatures too small for you to see are lying beneath the creepers, roots, and twigs. Therefore, this time is unsuitable for gathering flowers. And not only the time, but also this place is unsuitable for you to gather flowers, because at night, terrible creatures such as tigers are abroad here. Therefore, you should go back to Braja. But the gopis may object, let us rest for a few minutes, and then we will go. Then the Lord might reply, women shouldn't remain in this kind of place. In other words, because of the time and place, it is wrong for persons like yourselves to stay here, even for a moment. Furthermore, by the word sumajimaha, slender-waisted ones, the Lord implied, you are beautiful young girls, and I am a beautiful young boy, because you are all very chaste, and I am a brahmachari, as confirmed by the words Krishna Brahmachari in the Shruti, the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. There should be no fault in our being in the same place. Nonetheless, the mind can never be trusted, neither yours nor my own. The Lord's inner eagerness thus hinted at is obvious if we read his words between the lines as follows. If out of shyness you cannot tell me the reason you've come, then don't speak. I already know it. Anyway, so just listen as I tell it to you. Thus the Lord speaks the words beginning Rajani. The following statement by Krishna is based on an alternative meaning of the verse derived when the Sanskrit words are separated in a different way. The alternative separation, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, would be Rajani Esha Agora Rupa Agora Sattva Nishevata Patiyata Vrajam Na Iha Stayam Srivi Suman Majyamaha. Through Srila Vishwanath's commentary, Krishna now explains the meaning of this division of words. The pervasive moonshine has made this night appear not at all fearsome, and therefore this forest is populated by harmless creatures such as deer, agora sattvahai, or else by animals such as tigers that are harmless because of Vrindavan's naturally nonviolent atmosphere. Consequently, this night should not frighten you, or else, Krishna may have meant, you should not be afraid of your own husbands and other relatives, because the night being populated by fearsome animals, they will not come near this place. Therefore, please do not go back to Braja, Napatiata, but stay here in my company, Iha Steyam. The gopis may ask the Lord, how are you staying here? The Lord answers, with women. But are you satisfied to keep just any woman in your company? The Lord replies to this with the word, Sumadhyamaha, meaning only women who are young and beautiful, who have slender waists, namely yourselves, should stay here with me and not others. Thus we can appreciate that Krishna's statements are full of considerate as well as neglectful sentiments. Krishna's words are certainly brilliant because, according to the rules of Sanskrit grammar, they may be understood in either of two opposite ways. In the first case, as translated above, Lord Krishna continues to tease the gopis by telling them the night is dangerous and inauspicious and they should go home, but Krishna is simultaneously saying exactly the opposite. Namely, that there is absolutely no reason for the gopis to fear coming to the Lord, that the night is quite auspicious, and that night is quite auspicious, and that the girls should under no circumstances go back home. Thus Lord Krishna simultaneously teases and enchants the gopis with his words. Whew. Krishna's a little tricky here. Let's go back to the verse. All right. Rajanyesha gora rupa gora sattva nishevata patiyata brajam neha steyam strivi sumadhyamaha. So, omagada timananda shaganjana shalakaya chakshur unmeditam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. So, Krishna is quite known for giving equivocal instructions. And we were having a discussion about the Bhagavad Gita the other day online, not my class, but a private discussion, about how Krishna is encouraging Arjuna, for example, to be ahimsa, you know, be nonviolent, to see all living entities equally. And then at the same time, he's also encouraging him to fight and kill his cousin brothers. You know, so you have these apparently conflicting situations or instructions. And I was thinking about this. They're all over the place, not only in the Bhagavad Gita, that you have these instructions Krishna gives. He gives actually two instructions, or he gives one instruction, and then they have to violate Vedic etiquette to follow that instruction. So there's all these conflicts. And in conflict language, because I took a course in the university, conflict language, one of the worst things you can do is put a person in like approach situation or avoidance approach or avoidance situation. It's just like, they're just like torn apart. So why does Krishna do that? Why doesn't Krishna just speak cleanly, I mean purely, not purely, but just plainly, you know, what he wants? You know, it's interesting. So I was thinking of one particular, there are many instances that I'm going to cite in class, if we have time. One instance is in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you have the story of Ashwatthama, who kills the five sleepy sons of the Pandavas. And there's quite a bit about this conflict here that, well, I'm not going to read all the verses, I'm just going to read one verse, but bring you up to speed, is that Krishna, first of all, tells Arjuna to kill Ashwatthama. So he brings Ashwatthama back, you know, intending to kill Ashwatthama under Krishna's instructions. And then Krishna gives Ashwatthama, or presents him, he presents him to Draupadi. And Draupadi gets all really sentimental about the whole thing. And she says, you know, he's the son of a Brahmin, he's your guru, and basically if you kill him, then creepy is, of course, the wife. The wife of Dronacharya, but the mother of Ashwatthama has no reason to live anymore. Her husband is already dead. He's been killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. So don't kill him. You can't kill the son of a Brahmin. And then Yudhisthira says, yeah, I agree with that. That's actually a good idea. You shouldn't kill him. And then Bhimsen, of course, has the opposite idea. And Krishna has the opposite idea. So Arjuna is like in this conflict situation. You know, what am I going to do? So there's one verse here where the personality of Godhead Krishna said, a friend of a Brahmin is not to be killed. But if he's an aggressor, he must be killed. All these rulings are in the scriptures, and you should act accordingly. You have to fulfill your promise to your wife, and you must also act to the satisfaction of Bhimsen and me. So Krishna is saying you got to kill him. Bhimsen has got to kill him. Yudhisthira is saying something different. Krishna is also saying you have to satisfy your wife. So what does he do? Well, Arjuna, put in that conflict situation. Actually, these conflict situations that Krishna puts his devotee in makes the devotees think more deeply about things, and it brings up different emotions. Like in this particular example, we're talking about the gopis, it brings out certain like conflicting emotions. It churns things up. So Arjuna is thinking very, very deeply about the whole thing, and ultimately he comes to the conclusion, yes, you kill him, but you know, you cut the jewel out of his forehead, and then you send him out. And of course, there's more information in the Mahabharata how Krishna curses Ashwatthama to smell bad for the next 5,000 years so that nobody will go near him. You know, so he gets punished even further. So, but there's no injunction to kill the body of a brahmana, but you can defame him or something like that. So anyway, so Arjuna is able to reconcile these two opposing instructions from Krishna. And you'll find these conflicts in many places in the Shastras, not only with Krishna, but sometimes between two spiritual masters or a spiritual master and his spiritual master. Like in the case of Priyavrata. Everybody knows who Priyavrata is? No. The son of Swayambhu Manav. So anyway, so his spiritual master is Narada. And Narada is really into renunciation. You know, he has Priyavrata is convinced, you know, I'm not getting married. But Priyavrata's father is really upset at this. You know, it sounds like a Hindu family, right? Priyavrata's father is really upset. You know, you have to get married. No, but he has a good reason. He has a good reason for encouraging his son to get married, not simply because he wants to enjoy the grandchildren, like most people, but because he wants someone to take over. You know, there's this rule that, you know, king has son, so the son can take over, the proper qualified son can take over the kingdom. Otherwise, the king can't head for the hills and take sannyas or vanaprastha, right? Otherwise, you know, the poor guy has to stay ruling the kingdom until he's like 85 years old, like the president of the United States. Anyway, so, because there's a time to retire, timely, you know, so to speak. So what happens is that that his father brings the guru of Narada Muni. Who's the guru of Narada Muni? Does anyone remember? What? And you know everything. I'm just asking the peanut gallery here. So, Lord Brahma, right, is the father. So you got the guru saying one thing, and you know, there's a conflict there, and Priyavrata really wants to just renounce him. He doesn't want to get entangled in this world. And then, you know, he has this conflict, and said, okay, I got to get married. So you see that Krishna arranges these interesting conflicts. Another conflict we were reading about last night in our Chaitanya Charitamrita class was that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put Murari Gupta into a very conflictual situation. Those who were listening last night will remember this, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to glorify Krishna, said just worship Krishna, to Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta happens to be an incarnation of Hanuman in Chaitanya Leela. And so, you know, he's Ram Bhakta, and he's perfectly focused on Ram. And so Lord Chaitanya just gives him the instruction. You should, you know, focus on Krishna. Of course, he understands Krishna and Ram are the same person, ontologically. We spoke about this last night, too, that there's this philosophy of Achincha Bheda Veda Tattva also can be utilized to understand the different avatars or expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, one and different simultaneously. Because ontologically, you know, the identity, so to speak, of Krishna and Ram is exactly the same. But there is difference, right? No? Everybody sleepy? There's difference. There's difference in the manifestation. Lord Ram just has what? One wife, even though that beautiful girl, Sarpanaka, was in love with him, and he did a whole thing on, you know, Lakshman did a whole thing on it. So Ram has one wife. He's, you know, really dharmic. He doesn't have any girlfriends. You know, there's no question of him having any girlfriends. He would never call a girl Sumajima. Imagine Krishna. I mean, just going back to this verse today, imagine if anyone in this room called someone who wasn't his wife Sumajimaha. I mean, I'd have to report him to the GBC for pastoral abuse, right? If I did that, you know, let's say I went to one of the ladies there and said, a beautiful thin waist. Not many people have thin waist, but anyway, so if I... So that wouldn't be a problem. So anyway, so if I was to say that, then immediately, you know, we had this lady, Praharana, at least previously she was in charge of pastoral abuse. I got reported. Because that's obviously, was it obviously? It's obviously a romantic statement by any man say to a woman, and or if a woman says it to another woman, it's an envious statement. It's interesting. So, on Instagram. So, anyway, so getting back to the story of Murari Gupta, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually said all these amazing things about Krishna, Krishna's unexcelled beauty and everything like that, try to convince Murari Gupta, and he actually gave him the order, just worship Krishna. Here's an order from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, just worship Brajendranandana, Krishna, you know, who's obviously a different, he manifests different aspects than Lord Ram, who's your worshipful deity. And so Murari Gupta, he just couldn't sleep all night, and he basically asked Lord Chaitanya for permission to kill himself, because he was put into this conflict situation. Can you imagine that? I mean, if someone told you not to worship Radha Golokananda, not to come into the temple, you know, if we said that to Krishna Priya, for example, I'm giving you a deity of Lord Ramchandra, and you're not to step into the temple or go on Facebook or see Radha Golokananda anymore. I mean, you frankly want to kill yourself, wouldn't you? You're prohibited. You know, just worship Lord Ram or worship Karma or Varaha or any of the incarnations of God, you know, which is really interesting. The universal form, that's, of course, different. So So he was ready to kill himself. And then Lord Chaitanya, it was a test. And what did Lord Chaitanya just like glorified, said, you know, how glorious is someone who's dedicated to their worshipful deity, worshipful form. It's like that, and Lord Chaitanya was testing him in that particular way. So there's, I mean, like I said, this is a typical example. Of course, with Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they also tested their brother in the same way, Anupama, Sri Vallabha. They tested him in the same way because he was also a devotee of Lord Ramachandra. And, you know, then you have Lord Nityananda, who was tested by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Nityananda was told by Lord Chaitanya, don't come back to Jagannath Puri every year. Because, you know, you have preaching to do. And he violated the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come back and see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, so in other words, sometimes it's Krishna's strategy or the guru's strategy to put the disciple or to put the devotee into some sort of a conflict situation to sort of churn things up. There's a story. I mean, I have wrote down all these stories, which are really interesting. There's, and conflict situations can be not only between Krishna's two equivocal instructions of Krishna, but can be between following a particular dharma, because in Vedic civilization you have a certain dharma that you're supposed to follow. For example, Krishna says, you know, austerities of the body are, you know, respecting your father and mother and people like that, and of course spiritual master. And then you have the situation where Narada Muni encourages the sons of Daksha to disobey their father's instructions. And not only one set of course he had 10,000 sons. Daksha was quite an expert Prajapati. He had 10,000, I think they were called the Hariyashvas. So he had 10,000 sons. And Narada Muni comes and actually convinces the sons to disobey the order of the spiritual master, which is basically a conflict situation. I mean, it's not that they immediately said, yeah, we should just disobey our guru or our father. Narada gave them some, like, reason. He said, you know, who is actually your real father? You know, there are many statements like that that Narada Muni utilized. And finally, they disobeyed Daksha, and of course, Daksha got angry. And then the second group of sons, Savalashras, I think that was the name, they disobeyed their father under the instructions of Narada Muni. And Daksha was so upset, cursing Narada Muni, and he just decided just to have daughters from that point forward so he wouldn't have the same problem. So, you know, like I said, these are conflicting situations. And you find that Prabhupada sometimes would say, you know, people should remain brahmachari. And yet there's one instruction from Prabhupada in one circumstance, another instruction from Prabhupada in another circumstance, and or devotees should just, you know, stay and worship in the temple, and then another instruction. Like Lord Chaitanya, here's another example in our readings last night. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave different instructions to different devotees, like to Mukunda, he said, you should just make money. And to Raghunanda and his son, you should just worship the deities. And to Shivananda Sain, he said, you should just take care of Vasudev Dutt because he's not so good at managing money. So many different instructions, and so many times we take things out of context. The particular time, place, and circumstance context, and we try to apply it in the wrong contextual situation, and it just doesn't work. And so in our own lives, actually, we're going to be confronted with different conflicting instructions, and we have to figure out how to reconcile these two instructions to carry out the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here are the gopis in this particular verse. The gopis actually have two conflicting instructions. Actually, if they're reading between the lines or reading, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states, the other meaning of Krishna's statements, It's just they're conflicting in this particular way. And so, like I said, this actually brings out different emotions, causes one to think more deeply, and to meditate more upon one's duty, as, of course, I'm not referring specifically to the gopis, but as far as ourselves, to meditate more completely upon one's duty and actually deepen our bhavas or emotions in relationship with the Supreme Personality of God. And that's what Krishna is doing in this particular case with the gopis. So we'll leave time open for questions. So any questions or comments about these different points? Questions, comments, arguments? No? Mother Ermola, yes, you have permission. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so in other words, the book is just presenting one side of a particular topic. And so he wants you to review it. And he's a friend. And so you don't want to offend him. I got it. So you can actually write about the expertise and, you know, the review, how well he wrote, you know, his English and everything like that. You can praise him for something that has nothing to do with the topic of the book. Like this book as well. And you disagree with his... No, it's better not to talk about it. It's better not to talk about it in class.
It's all skewed to one side. Like any time that there's, you know, I'll know...
So by putting your name, your imprimatur on it, it will have more credibility, is that what you're saying? And you don't want to put... So then I would just give him some suggestions. And then at that point, just be honest with him. And just, what else can you do?
And what does he do in a practical sense? You know, we see Srila Prabhupada with 180 degrees, diametrically
opposed. Yeah, like a sannyasi's business is to travel and preach and never stay in one place, and then he instructs another sannyasi, your business is to stay in one place. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time, place, and circumstance. It's time, place, and circumstance. Like,
broad statements.
One of the two statements.
My
understanding is Prabhupada really wants us to use our intelligent sense of discrimination and apply these statements. I mean, I just want to make some reference to the Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna actually, I mean, you'll find here that Arjuna is put bewildered. At least two or three times in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, you're giving me equivocal instructions. You know, in the beginning of chapter 3, you know, Keshava, why do you want me to engage in this ghastly work if you think that intelligence is better than fruitive work? And there's another verse that I forget. It's in the beginning of one of the other chapters. Maybe it's chapter 5, where, I'm not sure, where Krishna says, you're giving me equivocal instructions. You know, so you find this throughout the Bhagavad Gita, you know, and then the sixth chapter, Krishna gives all the instructions on Hatha Yoga, and Arjuna says, you know, I can't do it. You know, Chanchalahi Manah Krishna Pramateyi Balavadridhava Tashahav Nigraha Manye Vaya Over Eva Shudushkaram. The mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate. I mean, I just find we're we're continually, I mean, not continually, but practically every day we're confronted with these conflicting situations. And Krishna is arranging them so that we can actually dive deeper into understanding how to act in a Krishna conscious way in those circumstances. That's the training we get. And usually my standard of judgment in those circumstances is what would please Prabhupada, acting in such a way to please Prabhupada. So I actually try to picture Prabhupada. I mean, I know taking Prabhupada's instructions out of context, you can think this would please Prabhupada or that would please Prabhupada. But I try to really understand Prabhupada as a person and pray to him and say, you know, which decision do you want me to take, even though there's a big conflict right here. So, any other questions or comments? Yeah.
If we're talking about an emotional conflict.
Yes, an emotional conflict.
Conflict of
philosophy already. Yeah.
But
conflicts put, whether they're emotional or philosophical, they put you in the same sort of like state of mind. You know, I had one person write to me about the Bhagavad Gita, this is recently. And he says, you know, Krishna's, it's actually cruel to put someone in that particular situation. So why is Krishna so cruel putting you in that state of mind? So whether it's philosophical, practical, managerial, for us, because we're doing things, at least for myself, I'm doing, trying to do everything for Krishna, it puts me in the same state of mind. And that really helps one dive deeper into one's purpose in life, in one's actual feelings, or in the case of the gopis, in terms of one's love for Krishna. It actually deepens their love for Krishna. So it deepens our, for me, it actually deepens my involvement in Krishna consciousness or my desire to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. Without conflicts, there's no impetus. Without opposition, yeah, there's no glorious victory without. So there has to be some. I mean, you learn this actually when I studied conflicts, you know, conflict resolution, that life means conflicts. You can't get rid of them. It's how you deal with them. Like people look at the same thing. You know, they have this whole study where you look at different pictures, and one person thinks the picture is a glass of wine, and the other person thinks it's a man and a woman talking to each other. And so this is different perspective. And so we have to learn how to reconcile these conflicts in a Krishna conscious way. Of course, the gopis were always Krishna conscious. Jai Shri Shri Radhakalukananda Ki Jai.
Namaha Bhajami
Sarir Hare Hare Pulitinae One Maho Venir Goranga Pulite Abe Pulaka Sarir Hare Hare Pulitinae One Maho Ara kape nitai janera koruna hai pe samsara vashanam mora kape tu chai be ara kape nitai janera koruna hai pe Samsara Vasana Mora Kabe to Chai Be Vishaya Jadiya Kabe Shudabe Mana Kabe Hamahi Rabbu Sri Vrindavanaha Vishaya chatina kabe shudabe manna kabe hamahe rabo shri vindavala rupa ragunatha padne hoy be akut thi Kabe ama bujabo se yugala piti Rupa ragunata pade hoy be akuti Kabe ama rabo se yugala piti Rupa Ragun Natapade Rahumaraksha Pratanakore Sada Narutamutas Rupa Ragun Natapade Horata Pratana kore sada narotamo das Goranga bodhite abe punaka shari Hari hate bodhite nayane mahabene Go round the bush. me una casa rege hari a te bonite na yanne goranga bonite habe una casa rege hari a te bonite na yanne ba be ne Goranga bonite ame, pula kasare. Hari hari bonite na yane bagabene. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hey Krishna, hey Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hey Krishna, hey Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Radha, ha, Gorakhena Nanda, Gorakhena Nanda, Jaya. Jaya Radha, Gorakhena Nanda, Gorakhena Nanda, Jaya. Jaya Radha, Jaya Radha, Jaya Radha, Jaya Radha. Hayo hey Radhe 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 Jaya Sri Rahud Hey Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramahacharya also Teda Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanahara Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Goti Vaishnav Vrindigajai Namacharya Shidharidas Thakur Gajai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasa Nigaur Bhakta Vrindigajai Shishi Radhakrishna Gopika Padnal Shayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Bacharanam Kijai Jagadatha Sami Kijai Yubanamai Kajai, Shimhati Lassi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Varinda Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories, the assembled devotees, all glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru Gauranga Shilapobad Kajai. Okay, read the translation. When will that opportune moment come to me when I shiver upon chanting the name of Lord Gauranga? When will I cry while chanting Hare Krishna? When will I receive the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda so that my desires for material enjoyment become insignificant? When will my mind be purified of material anxieties and desires so that I can understand Vrindavan? When shall I be very eager to study the books left by the six Goswamis so they can understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna? The lotus feet of the six Goswamis are my only shelter. In constant separation from them, I remain Narottamadas. Narottamadas Thakur Kijai. Okay, she tells to go. Ajanam Baba Mahadvagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kairavi.